If you'll open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 4, this morning we have the tremendous privilege of installing Jim Stewart as our new associate pastor here at this church. And this is no small matter. The Lord has so arranged his church that the pastoral ministry is an extremely weighty and important force in the church. And releasing Jim Stewart to minister in all of your lives is designed by the Lord to have a tremendous impact on your life, how you live it for him for many years to come. At the end of the service today, we will all join together in praying for Jim in his ministry here to ask God to truly use this man in our lives, to truly empower him and to fill him by his Spirit to be a true minister for us. We know that God uses weak, in themselves impotent men to do a spiritual work that is not at all weak, but strong and powerful. And we are asking God to do that through Jim in our lives. It's my great joy and privilege to receive the benefit of his ministry alongside of me and the other elders to minister in this flock, in this congregation. And we just, as elders, seek to properly and diligently shepherd the flock that God has given. We stand before God as elders, responsible for the shepherding of your own lives. But we also stand before you and working very closely and diligently in your lives and preaching and teaching and equipping. And it's just a joy for me to have Jim come alongside us and do that. It's also a great privilege for me to stand before the church and open the scriptures on this day and deliver a solemn charge to Jim as we install him into the ministry here. And if the church were simply another human organization, this would be utter folly for me to stand and give a charge to Jim. Because I am much younger in age, much younger, Jim. And also young in the ministry. And it would seem foolishness to deliver a charge to one so experienced in age and in ministry and years of ministry. What wisdom could I impart? But the church is not of this world. And our message is not our own. I don't come up with the things to say. We alike have been given God's word, which itself commands us. And thus, when there's a charge to be given in the church, we simply repeat the words of Scripture to one another. Whether we are to give a charge to one another and encouraging each other to live lives for Christ, or whether we are to give a special charge on like a day like today, we simply open the Scriptures and deliver the message, because it's the message itself that has the power. The human messenger need not have great gravitas. It is the message that carries the weight, because this is the message of God himself. He is speaking to us from his word. And so it's with that sense of a bold and yet a trembling heart that I want to be God's mouthpiece this morning. I want to take the words of the Apostle Paul and solemnly charge Jim to fulfill his ministry here in this church. But my message is not just to Jim this morning. It is to all of you. For we all have a ministry to fulfill within God's church. It's not only the pastor who has been charged from God's word to fulfill a ministry. We've all alike been put under a command of God. If we are his children, we are also his stewards. We are to faithfully steward the treasure that he has deposited in us and among us. So here from Colossians chapter 4, and also you can turn two or three books over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I just want to repeat the words of the Apostle Paul this morning and apply them to our hearts. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. As we'll hear in these two texts, a strong call to ministry. Not only to be involved in ministry, like the Apostle Paul himself, but like the Apostle Paul, to fully complete and bring to completion whatever ministry the Lord has given you to do. So let me read Colossians 4:17 and 2 Timothy 4:5. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This morning I want you to hear and understand these words and understand in what sense they apply to all of us. Timothy, Paul is charging in 2 Timothy 4:5. He's a protege of the Apostle Paul and the apostolic delegate to the Gentile churches. He had an official position within the church. He was set apart for ministry. He had had his hands, the hands of the elders and the Apostle Paul laid on him, and he was put into that ministry. He was under specific direction of the Apostle Paul as he went about his ministry. But Archippus, on the other hand, in Colossians 4:17, we know very little about. The only additional information that we have in the Scriptures about Archippus here is in Philemon, verse 2, where Paul considers him a fellow soldier and where we understand that the church in Colossae met in his parents' house. And he seemingly was an important part of that church. But beyond this, he just simply appears to be a member of the church. And yet Paul, at the end of his letter to the Colossians, he calls upon the church to say to Archippus, to take heed to the ministry he has received in the Lord and to fulfill it. Exactly what Archippus' ministry was, we don't really know. Maybe the reason for this charge to him was that he was waiting around for someone to tell him what to do. Maybe he was distracted by the cares of the world to the neglect of his ministry for Christ, or maybe he was timid, like Timothy was prone to be. Maybe he felt inadequate for the task that he was to do. Whatever the cause, the remedy was plain. We see it in the words of the Apostle Paul. It was for the church to gather around him and to encourage him, actually command him to get with it. Don't sit on the sidelines. Don't wander around in the daisies. Get with it. Fulfill your ministry. Take it seriously. To Archippus, it was the ministry he had received in the Lord. To Timothy, it was your ministry. It was something in particular that they were to do, their responsibility within the church. The word in Colossians, fulfill the ministry that the Lord had given, it means to bring to an appropriate end, to complete, to accomplish. Paul actually in 2 Timothy uses a different word, although from the same word group. It's a more picturesque word, and it means to bear fully. It was used of a soldier putting on his armor, and he was to keep it on and bear it fully, bear up the weight. It was also used of one who would carry either a message or a burden to some destination. And the charge was to carry it fully, carry it all the way. Don't stop in the middle. Fulfill the full thing. Bear it fully. Bear it to the end. Carry it all the way to its appointed destination. Fulfill your responsibility in Christ fully and all the way to its end. That's what Paul is charging both Archippus and Timothy. Paul himself was an example of this. Do you remember what he says? If you're still there in 2 Timothy, just look a few verses below, verse 5. He says, verse 6, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. He was at the end of his apostolic mission. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Though imperfectly, like his Lord before him, he carried out what God needed him to do. Jesus, when he died on the cross, said, it is finished. And Paul here says, I have finished the course. The gospel writers record that when Jesus had fulfilled all righteousness, his course was finished. He went to the cross. The word ministry here in both of these passages, both in 2 Timothy and in Colossians, It comes from the word to serve. We use it often for deacons. Diakonos is the word. It means to serve. It didn't have any particular type of serving that was attached to it. It simply meant to fulfill a responsibility. It could be used for the word chore. Do your chore. It's a curious thing about chores, about ministries, about serving. They require work. They require labor. And so often we kind of tend to shrink away from them because it's hard work. It is labor, often difficult. We have chores in our house, in the Johnson house. It allows our house to function well. Without the chores getting done, the house ceases to function. Let me just give you three kinds of chores, and then we'll draw a parallel between the chores of a normal functioning household and the chores that are involved in the church. There are some personal chores in our house that we each have to do. We each have to make our own bed and put our own dishes in the dishwasher and put away our own clothes that are clean, etc., etc. These are things related to our own person. And if they don't get done, if we don't do our chores in the Johnson house, well, most of the time, no one suffers except us. We don't have clothes to wear. Our bed's not made and our dishes are not clean. It's mainly your own life that suffers when you fail to fulfill your personal chores. But there are also common chores. We just all pitch in together and take care of whatever needs to happen. 5 minutes before dinner, everyone just comes into the kitchen and we get the table set and we get all the food on the table and the appropriate salad dressing and whatever's needed. It's just all there. We all work together. That's common chores. We do them together. If one person decides to sulk off and do something else while common chores, then who suffers? Everyone else. Because everyone else has to bear the load that one person not fulfilling their common chore. And those are things that relate to all of us, and we just pitch in together to get them done. But if we tried to do everything in our house like that, then it would be chaos. Nothing would ever get done. How can we all take out the trash together? How can we all fold the clothes together or wash the clothes or dust the house or vacuum together? We can't walk around with all our hands on the vacuum trying to vacuum the house. So there is the need of a third kind of chore, and that is assigned chores. Not just personal chores, not just common chores that we all do together, but assigned chores. The master of the house has apportioned out to each individual different things like taking out the trash, vacuuming, making breakfast, whatever it may be. Each member of the family has their assigned chore, their assigned responsibility, their assigned ministry. And if one person does not fulfill their ministry, then it just doesn't get done because they're the person assigned to it. And the rest of the family suffers. The work, the well-functioning of the household becomes all of a sudden dysfunctional. And the house does not efficiently and effectively run. It causes trouble for everyone. And what will happen is, usually the master of the house, or the mistress of the house, is that a word? Or sometimes the whole house will gather around that individual and they will say to him or her, fulfill your ministry. You need to do what you're supposed to do. We're all depending on you. Jim, from these texts, I want you to realize that you, as well as every person in the body of Christ, has personal responsibilities. Common responsibilities that we all must engage in, but also assigned responsibilities. Now, let me apply this to us all before I turn my guns particularly on Jim. I believe that this charge to fulfill your ministry applies to us all, and I believe that based on two truths within the Scripture. One is the priesthood of all believers. And two is the Great Commission of Christ. The priesthood of all believers. Turn to 1 Peter I know I finished 1 Peter last week, but we just have to go back there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. It's been over a year since we've been in 1 Peter 2, so surely you've forgotten. 1 Peter 2, verse 4 and 5. Peter says, "And coming to him as to a living stone," he's presenting a metaphor here of the church, "which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Verse 9, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Every Christian here is one of these living stones. Peter is talking to all of us that we are part of this spiritual priesthood of Jesus Christ. Those who belong to Jesus Christ, who have come to him in faith and repentance and are completely leaning on him for salvation, have received of his Spirit, been reborn, are a priest of God in this world and in this church to minister to the Lord and to minister on behalf of the Lord. We are too, we are told in this passage, we're to be a royal priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us. And just like the members of the Johnson household aren't free to do whatever chores they would like to do or in the way they would like to do them, they are assigned and commanded which chores to do and how they are to be done. In the same way, the Lord Jesus has assigned to us and put us under command, under call, under commission, if you will, in what we are to do. And Jesus gave this commission in a real succinct form, although the commands of Christ are spread throughout all the New Testament scripture in the writings of his apostles. It's given in a succinct form in Matthew 28. Turn back to Matthew chapter 28, and let's look at what we have termed the Great Commission. Based on the authority of the risen Jesus Christ, he was commanding not only his apostles here, but he was commanding all that would come to him through them, even to us today. This wasn't just something just for the apostles. This is for all of us. What are we to be doing as his priests? The great statement of our common ministry, our common chore, if you will, in the Lord. He said, verse 19, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age." This is our mission. Now, the apostles expanded on this basic mission as to the meaning and the specifics of what it means to take the gospel and make disciples and teach all the things that Christ commanded. They gave us also our personal responsibilities, how we are to live and walk before the Lord, and certain assigned responsibilities within the church they line out in the letters of the apostles. But here, even in Matthew 28, as God's ministers, we don't need further instructions. We've already been told what to do. We are to proclaim the gospel. We are to make disciples. 2 Timothy 2:2, "The things you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these things entrust to faithful men. Disciple them so that they in turn will be able to disciple others." We are to teach one another. Colossians 3:16, "With psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we are to make melody in our heart before the Lord, but we are to be using those things to teach one another." Colossians 3:17 is that we use that process not only of teaching, but also to worship the Lord. Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God and be thankful in your heart. We are to live godly lives. 1 Peter 2:11 and 12. We are to keep our behavior excellent among the Gentiles. We are to not be conformed to the lusts of this world. We are to care for one another. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Bearing with one another. Putting on a heart of compassion and kindness towards one another. We are to care for one another. Galatians 5:13 says we are to serve one another in love. I mean, these are all the apostles just take out the full implication of what Jesus taught them. I mean, all of these things, as you read through the scriptures, we are to proclaim the gospel, disciple others, teach one another, worship God, live godly lives, care for one another, serve one another. Sometimes the list of what we are to do in the scripture becomes a little bit overwhelming. We have trouble keeping it all in our mind. What am I supposed to be doing? If I wanted to fulfill my ministry, what is it that the Lord has given me to do? Well, let me just put it in a little more succinct form, an easy form for you to remember. Let me give you four W's. I encourage you to write this down. Four W's that can encompass all that Christ has given us to do. Worship, witness, walk, and work. Worship, directed towards God. We offer up sacrifices of praise to Him. We personally relate with Him. Witness, directed toward the lost world around us. We proclaim the gospel. We offer up a defense of anyone who asks us to give an account of the hope that's within us. Walk, that's directed towards our own life. We are to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. We are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which we have been called. Letting the Spirit live through you. And the fourth W is work. And that's directed towards the members of the body of Christ. How we are to love and to care and to encourage and to teach one another. And all of the one another's that are in the New Testament. So every time you see a website, you type it in your computer, www. You think of the four W's. Worship, witness, work, and walk. It doesn't matter what order you get them in. Just remember that we have responsibility. We have been called by God. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His priests. And He has commissioned us to worship and witness and walk and work. And you think of Paul's words to Archippus. Paul's words to Timothy, fulfill your ministry. Ministry is not just for the pastors to be doing. It's for each and every member of the household of God. Do you understand that? There's no special class of Christians. Oh, the ministers, they do that. They visit people in the hospital. They share the gospel. They do the teaching. They are the ones who should be discipling. Where does it say it? Please show me the verse. We are all Christ's ministers. Often people will say, well, I don't have any place to minister within the church. And what they mean is they don't have a place in a particular program that has been initiated and sponsored by the leadership of the church. Right? But that does not mean you do not have a place to minister. For Christ Himself has commissioned you to worship and witness and work and walk. We have a common ministry to fulfill. Each of us has personal ministry to fulfill. Even if you don't feel like you have an assigned ministry within the church, you can take great joy in serving in the multitude of common ministries that the Lord has given us to do towards one another and towards the world around us. See, a desire to minister for Christ and to take great joy in fulfilling our ministry is part of what Christ said. He said, I came to give you life, to give you abundantly, that out of you flows rivers of living water. Ministry just comes out of us. We desire to serve Christ. That's the Spirit working in us. And as John said in our scripture reading this morning, as we let the Spirit live out through us, we can take great confidence that Christ truly does abide in us because the Spirit is living out through us. Now, granted, all of us get distracted, tired, disheartened from time to time in what the Lord calls us to do in our worship, in our witness, in our walk, in our work, in serving one another. And we just need to be reminded. fulfill your ministry. You see someone who needs to be encouraged within the body of Christ? Do not think to yourself, oh, well, we just brought Pastor Stewart on. I'll give him a call. He needs to go call on that person so he can encourage them. You have permission. You do it. You see someone, a new believer, he needs to be discipled. He needs to be brought up in the things of the faith. Don't think, wait a minute, Terry Devitt. He is the elder of discipleship within our church. Maybe I can get Terry Devitt to call him. No. You're released. You're free to do that. Don't look for permission. You already have it from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Go find that new believer. Come alongside them. Teach them what it means to worship, what it means to witness, what it means to walk, what it means to work and serve within the church. That's what they need. And you have the freedom and you have the responsibility to do that. Now, sure, we have programs for teaching people and discipling people and worshiping together and caring for one another and serving one another. And so one way in which you might fulfill your ministry is to jump into one of those programs. Make yourself available to what is already going on. Those are the common ministries that we as elders have set up within our body so that we might truly minister to one another. But don't ever, ever think that the sum total of ministry that Christ has called us to is wrapped up in those programs. Yes, they are wonderful, but they cannot do it all. They are not designed to do it all. But God's Spirit in the heart of each believer, He is attempting to work the work of the ministry. Don't wait for someone to tell you what to do. If you see something that needs to be done, do it. Take ministry. Create ministry for the glory of God. And if you see a need in the body or in the community, fill it. If you think it needs to be planned and organized, then make a plan. Get some other people involved. Bring your plan to the elders or to the deacons, whoever it may be. I mean, because we are the ones who have been assigned the responsibility of running the house. And so we can help you in the best way possible organize and launch your heart's desire for ministry in the most effective and way that cooperates with the other ministries that are going on here. But by all means, don't just wait around for someone to come ask you to do ministry. Or to try to find, well, I just don't see that program. It just must not be important. Is it important to Christ? Is it on your Father's heart? Then don't delay in doing it. Christ has already put you under command. What we need is to be like Jael. Remember Jael from Judges chapter 4? She was a courageous Jewish woman. And when the commander of the attacking Canaanite army, Sisera, came and sought refuge in her tent, she ministered to him with a glass of milk and a blanket and a place for him to lay down and go to sleep. And then she further ministered to him by grabbing a tent peg and a hammer in her hand and drove it through his temple into the ground. And no one commanded her or assigned her that particular ministry. Barak, the commander of the Israeli army, did not put her under assignment to do that. She saw ministry opportunity and she took it. And thereby she delivered Israel. Now, we don't really have that kind of ministry opportunities that much these days. But what I wonder is this. Do we have that kind of woman? Who doesn't wait around for someone to bring ministry to her, who is ready and willing to take up ministry for the glory of God and for the glory and the functioning of His people? Or like Nehemiah, who was praying to God that He would show His glory in His people. And when the opportunity arose, he spoke to the Persian king about the need to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. He took a ministry opportunity. No one assigned him to do that. It was where he was, and he could do what he could do. Like Stephen in Acts chapter 6. Stephen was a deacon assigned in the church in Jerusalem. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't an evangelist. But he realized he had been commanded by Christ to make disciples. And so he began to boldly share with his countrymen who Jesus Christ was and how they needed to turn to Christ. He counted the cost and he took up ministry. And it cost him his life. Or Philip in Acts chapter 8, another deacon there in the Jerusalem church. But when the saints in Jerusalem were dispersed because of persecution, there wasn't a Jerusalem church anymore. Philip didn't have a ministry there in the church anymore, his assigned ministry. But he had been assigned ministry by Jesus Christ. And so he went about looking for some new ministry. He began to proclaim the gospel to the Samaritans. No one was doing that. He took ministry. And God was pleased through his ministry to bring the Samaritans into the church. Or Tabitha in Acts 9. She wasn't under Peter's command to be making clothes for the poor in her church. She saw that there was a need, and she just began to fulfill it. She realized she was under the command of Christ himself. And as Luke records, she was abounding in deeds of kindness and charity. She took ministry. Aquila and Priscilla in Acts 18. They were in the tent construction business, same as Paul, and they ran into him and got hooked up with him, and they just began to help him out in his ministry. They never had their hands laid on them, that we can tell. They never were assigned a particular place in ministry. They just saw a ministry opportunity, and they took it. Or a man named Tim Walterbach in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's also in the construction business. Attending a church that ministered to ex-convicts, he began to realize that they had great needs beyond their spiritual needs. So he created a way to teach these men skill in the construction industry and come alongside them and mentor them and use his own company to give them jobs. And he comes alongside them and mentors them. And if you know Tim Walterbach, he's not just teaching them how to swing a hammer. He's teaching them how to wield the Word of God and apply it to their life. No one assigned him that ministry. He saw the need and he took ministry. He's doing a great work for the glory of God. Can you hear the echo of the Apostle Paul's words to Archippus and to Timothy? Fulfill your ministry. The one Christ has given you. Paul's words to Archippus in Colossians 4:17 are especially apropos. Because Paul tells the church in Colossae, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry that Christ has given you, or that you have received from Christ. Take heed to it. It means to look carefully into it. Don't miss anything. Analyze it. Scrutinize it. Look carefully into what Christ has given you to do, and then fulfill it. Understand it fully. Take heed to it. That's where we need to be. We need to understand what Christ has called us to do. We need to look into it carefully. And then we need to fulfill it. And Jim, what I say this morning to the entire congregation, I also say to you as well. For not only do you have personal responsibilities in the body of Christ to live your life in a manner worthy of God, but you also have the same common responsibilities that we all do. To minister the gospel, to care for and encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ. But Jim, you also have an assigned ministry. Through your gifting and the call of the Holy Spirit in your own life and the recognition of the church of that, you have been set apart for the pastoral ministry. And I know you know very well what that ministry entails, for you've been faithfully fulfilling it for the past 2 decades almost. You have a special function in the church. You are to lead with God's wisdom. You are to equip the saints for the work of ministry. You are to guard the flock from sin and from error. You are to patiently shepherd the flock for the glory of God and His church. You are to be gentle, strong, and tenacious. You are to teach plainly, clearly, You're to preach boldly and accurately. You're to train others to do those very things. You're to be an example to the flock. This is your ministry. Paul's words to Archippus and to Timothy are the words to you. You need to fulfill that ministry. Same as I told the congregation, Jim, don't wait to be told something to do. Christ has already put you under command. You know your Father's heart. So pursue ministry here for His glory. We are releasing you here for ministry. You serve among a congregation of people that is hungry for God's Word. They want to know what God says and how they can be better equipped to fulfill their ministry. Our church has placed a premium on the importance of the pastoral ministry. We could have a great sound system. The people in the back could actually hear me at this point, which hopefully we're working on that. We could have a great PowerPoint projector and a neat new building, but instead we hired a pastor to come and personally minister among us. We have released you from every man's duty in the physical realm to provide for his own family. We have provided for the needs of your family. So that you might be released from that and might be released into the spiritual provision for this family. And we are asking you and charging you to fulfill that ministry. I tell you what you already know, what Paul told the Corinthians, that if one member of the body suffers, all members suffer with it. And that holds true for every one of us. If there is any member of this congregation that spurns or ignores or gets distracted from fulfilling the ministry that God has given them, then his work among us will be hampered to some degree. But because of the vital nature of your particular assigned ministry, if you fail to fulfill your ministry, it could very well cripple this church. In the day and age of rampant pastoral default and pastoral compromise and pastoral dilly-dallying around, I say on behalf of this congregation, Jim, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Guard through the Holy Spirit the treasure that has been entrusted to you. Retain the standard of sound words and the faith and the love which are in Christ Jesus. By so doing, you will not only ensure salvation for yourself, but for all those who hear you as well. The pastoral ministry is serious business, and you must discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Like a soldier on active duty, like an athlete in training, like a diligent, faithful farmer, you are to discipline yourself in prayer, in the accurate handling of the Scriptures, in a self-sacrificing love of your wife, in a true humility before God and before men. Discipline yourself for a constant and continual pursuit of personal holiness and growing in Christ's likeness. Do not sit back. Press forward. Discipline yourself for a deep personal meditation and worship of the glory of Jesus Christ. Only then will you be able to fulfill your ministry. As Paul told Timothy, suffer hardship. Endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ, and with it, eternal glory. Today, we as a church are releasing you to minister among us according to the Spirit and for the glory of Christ. And upon your installation with earnest seriousness and a sense of apostolic authority, we gather around you, as it were, and for our own sake and for our Lord's sake, we repeat the words that Paul commanded the church in Colossae to say to Archippus: take heed to your ministry that you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Bring it to its appropriate end. Bring it to completion. Bear it. Wear it fully. May I just say on my own behalf, how much joy I personally have in asking you to join us in this ministry. Because I know that you will, in fact, fulfill it. That we can lock arms together and shepherd this flock that God has put here. And that is a great joy for me, as well as it is for the rest of the elders and the deacons and for the congregation as we have brought you here. anticipate standing shoulder to shoulder with you for years to come and doing the Lord's work. You spur me on, and I'll spur you on too.